Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where, as you can see on the screen behind me, today we are going to be talking about suffering and the sovereignty of God. In other words, how does God's sovereignty fit into our suffering? Now, throughout church history, many people have wrestled with this idea of a good God allowing bad things to happen, a loving God allowing people to suffer, a sovereign God, and yet they're still suffering. And this human dilemma, a theological term to try to get God off the hook, to vindicate God in his goodness when there's all kinds of bad stuff happening, that theological term is called theodicy. Basically, theologians throughout church history have tried to get God off the hook for suffering and bad things happening in this world and so forth. But listen very carefully. God doesn't need us to vindicate him. God doesn't need us to get him off the hook. How does God's sovereignty, meaning God is in full control of all things, right? There's nothing out of control. As the great theologian who's now home in heaven with the Lord, R.C. Sproul, famously said, God is in full control of everything, which means there is not one rogue molecule in the universe. God is sovereign. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows not only what happened yesterday, not only what is happening today, he knows what's going to happen tomorrow, right? God is sovereign. He is omniscient. He is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. He is Almighty God. Well, how can a sovereign God, how can suffering exist under the control of a sovereign God? Simple. God is in control of your deepest, most painful suffering. Let me repeat that. We don't need to get God off the hook because of our suffering. As though God's not in control of that. That's either our fault, as Job's terrible counselors were telling Job, he was the reason for all his suffering. No. We don't need to get God off the hook. As though either God's not in control of that part of our lives, we bring suffering on ourselves, we deserve it. God is kind of just sitting up in heaven with his hands tied, he can't really get involved in the suffering part, right? No. God is in full control of absolutely everything, including our suffering. That means that your suffering is not a surprise to God. Your suffering is not something that catches God off guard. Your suffering is in the middle of God's will for you. What? Yeah, absolutely. And so on the one hand, that should give you comfort that God's in control of your suffering. On the other hand, there are many people who go, wait a second, does that mean God actually allows my suffering? Absolutely. And God will even use your suffering for your good and his glory. Because God's ultimate good for you, Christian, is to make you like his son, to transform you into the image and likeness of his son. And God will use every means that he chooses. He'll use the word of God to make you like his beloved son. He'll use worship. He'll use prayer. He'll use fellowship with God's people. He will use suffering, sin, and yes, even Satan, to accomplish his perfect purpose. which is to make you like Christ, so that your life here on earth and throughout eternity brings glory to Christ. So, there are people today who try to get God off the hook when it comes to Christians who suffer, because they don't want to make God look like he's actually involved and allowed, because they say, well, what kind of loving God is that? How do we handle that? People are going to... And so they come up with all ways to try to get God off the hook. They will deny that God is sovereign. They will blame the person who's suffering, like Job's counselors did to Job. They'll say either that the person who's suffering deserves it, they've earned it, and God's punishing them through this suffering. Or they will say, you haven't shown enough faith to God by writing a big enough tithe check, sowing a big enough seed, and that's why you continue to suffer. Well, that's heresy. All of it is. God is sovereign, right? In fact, just Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14, very clear, talking to Christians that we've, in verse 11, we've obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. That verse right there shows you the sovereignty of God, right? He works all things, including your suffering, after the counsel of his will, which means, that means that no amount of your suffering is outside the will of God? Exactly. Well, wait a second. What kind of loving God is that? And how could he do that? Well, again, what's God's goal for you, Christian? To make you like Christ so that your life brings glory to Christ, right? And if you want to know how God's going to make you like Christ so that your life can bring glory to Christ, I think it's a pretty good idea to look at the scriptures and see the life of Christ. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, the writer of Hebrews says that although he, Jesus, was a son, that's the deity of Christ, God the Son, second person of the Trinity, although he was a son, he learned obedience in his humanity, right? Jesus, here on earth, okay, God the Son, second person of the Trinity, 2,000 years ago, left his heavenly throne and came to this earth. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, meaning that Jesus had no sin nature. And here on earth, one person, Jesus, two natures, divine and human, truly God, truly man, in the one person of Christ. And so here, the writer of Hebrews describes that. Again, verse 8, although he was a son, God the Son, divine nature, he learned obedience, human nature. How? From the things which he suffered. Now, let me ask you a question. The sufferings of Christ, God wasn't sovereign in the sufferings of Christ? The sufferings of Christ kind of caught God off guard? Or God kind of was removed from that part and just kind of, I'm in heaven, my hands are tied, I can't do anything about it. What? Obviously, the sufferings of Christ were part of the plan and sovereign will of God, right? Again, we see the sufferings predicted in the Old Testament. We see the sufferings fulfilled in the New Testament. And you think about the sufferings of Christ. By his wounds, by his stripes, we've been healed, saved, right? And so at that time, those sufferings, brutal, unfair, in terms of he didn't do anything to deserve them, but they were part of the plan. And so if you want to know, Christian, how God will make you more like Christ, just look at the life of Christ. How are you going to become more Christ-like? Well, according to God's sovereign will, there will be times when God brings suffering to you. To punish you? Not necessarily. Now, listen, your sufferings as a Christian can be God's discipline because you have sinned. Not that God's kicking you out of his family, but God's discipline on you because you've sinned, right? So, one of the reasons why maybe you suffer is because you've sinned. But another reason, perhaps why you're suffering, is because God is preventing you from sinning. Do you get it? Maybe you're experiencing suffering because you've sinned. Now, obviously here, when it says that Jesus, in his human nature, learned obedience through suffering, he didn't suffer because he had done something wrong, right? It was part of the plan. And again, also to leave us an example to follow, right? We see how Christ suffered. We see how he handled it. And in the power of the Spirit, we want to follow his example, right? Again, not to earn our salvation. I'm talking to believers who are already saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. So, as a believer, sometimes we suffer because we have sinned. That's God's loving hand of discipline to wake us up so we sin no longer, so we repent of our sins, and we pursue godliness. But there's a second reason, maybe, why you're suffering. Not because you have sinned, but because God is preventing you from sinning. We see that example in the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 12, right? Apostle Paul says that very thing. He received an incredible vision, right? A vision of heaven. He didn't even want to talk about it. He was forbidden to talk about it. So he didn't come back from his vision and come out of his vision and all of a sudden write a book and sell millions and, all that stuff like people do today who say they went to heaven. You do realize that heavenly travel, heavenly tourism is not biblical, okay? But that's for another hot topic. But Paul here in verse 7 tells us that he was suffering, had a brutal thorn in the flesh, he calls it, a stake. It was so painful. And he explains why he was suffering. Verse 7, he says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, because he was able to see things that no human should be able to see here on earth, right? His vision was incredible. He said, because of this, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, he said, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. Again, they're not talking, in the Greek, he's not talking about like a little thorn from a thorn bush. He's talking like a stake. And God used a messenger of Satan to drive that stake into Paul. Messenger of Satan, messenger, Greek word angelos, angel of Satan. What's that? A demon. I believe that in that church in Corinth, and again, I mean, you just see the excruciating pain and difficulty Paul was dealing with those Christians in that church. It seems like God unleashed a demon or demons in that church who obviously were empowering those people who were opposing Paul and driving him, making his life miserable. Paul says, because I was so blessed by God, these surpassingly great revelations, he said, to keep me from exalting myself. He said, a stake was driven into me to torment me. We're talking about suffering. And by the way, again, God used, I believe, a demon to be the delivery boy to drive that stake into Paul. And Paul says the second time, let me tell you why God did this, to keep me from exalting myself. Do you see it? Now, that didn't mean that Paul wasn't praying for it to be removed. In fact, he tells us, concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that he might make it leave, make it go away. Nobody enjoys pain and suffering. Not at first, right? But look how the Lord responded to him. He said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. And my power is perfected in weakness. You see, the Lord, in his sovereignty, will allow suffering to come to us Christians, his children. One of the reasons? To stop us from sinning. another reason to prevent us from thinning, to prevent us from exalting ourselves. But here's the blessing. Because I know some of you are going, come on, God, I know I'm not going to sin. Cut me a break. Really? The great apostle Paul. Twice he says, to keep me from exalting myself. I think we'll all agree. We too have a propensity for wanting to exalt ourselves. I do. Oh, I may not show it to you, but inside of me. Can anybody relate? Well, God sees all. God knows all. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Because God is sovereign, right? And so what's God going to do to, listen, bless you, Christian? Because let's face it, it is a blessing if God prevents you from sinning, right? And then dealing with all the earthly consequences of it and so forth, right? Besides the fact that you dishonor God and disobey God, which is a big thing. So I don't think any of us complain if we know in advance God's going to stop you from sinning. He's going to prevent you from sinning. Thank you, God. God, how are you going to do it? A stake driven into you. Yeah, but God, I didn't do anything wrong yet. Why are you punishing me? No, he's not punishing you. He's preventing you from sinning and then dealing with the brutal consequences of it. The painful consequences of it. The shameful consequences of it. And again, the convicting consequences of it as a believer, you're disobeying, dishonoring your Lord. So God, in his sovereign grace, will bring suffering to you, Christian, not to punish you because you're sinning, but to prevent you from sinning, like he did here with Paul. And oh, by the way, Jesus responded to Paul, nope. That tormenting thorn, that stake, no, not removing it. But here's the good news, Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected, Paul, in your weakness. When we're weak, when we're suffering, our pride, nothing to boast about. No energy to boast, right? We're just hanging on. We're scrambling. And we are just crying out to the Lord. And that's the best position for us to be in. Why? So that Christ's all-sufficient grace can fill us up. Christ's perfect power can strengthen us. Where we experience his mercy, his comfort, his compassion. And we go deeper in our understanding of his sovereignty in the midst of our suffering. And that's why Paul said, man, if that's the case, most gladly, therefore, I'd rather boast about my weaknesses. So that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, Paul said, I'm well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties. All of this for Christ's sake? Because Paul concluded and said, when I'm weak in and of myself, then I'm strong in Christ and because of Christ. Paul doesn't exalt himself. Rather, Paul exalts Christ. Is that punishment? That's grace. God gives grace to the humble, but God opposes the proud. Christian, you and I don't want to live in opposition to God, do we? We don't want to be sinning. God gives grace to the humble. I think we'd all agree. Yeah, I'd like to receive more and more of God's grace, right? Well, simple. Be humble. But there's the problem. Naturally, we don't want to be. We do want to exalt ourselves, right? So what does God do? That which we cannot do for ourselves. He humbles us. Why? To bless us. So that we're exalting Him and becoming more like Him. I don't know. Kind of sounds like God's in full control of everything, doesn't it? Yes. Kind of sounds like we don't have to get God off the hook, do we? No. We don't have to vindicate God because of our suffering or difficulties we deal with. How can a good God, a loving God, allow you, Christian, to suffer? Because God is a good and loving God who is sovereign. If you're sinning, He wants you to stop. Christian, you want to stop, don't you? Well, let's face it. God often has to do for us that which we won't do for ourselves. He'll stop us from sinning. At other times, we're not sinning. But God will bring suffering to us to prevent us from sinning. Wow. That's grace also. That's love also, isn't it? Yeah. So we see here the example of Paul, right? Remember Peter? Did he suffer a little bit? I mean, didn't our Lord warn him 3 times? Peter, you're too busy boasting. You better be praying. Oh, Lord, 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 I'll die for you. Don't worry, I'm with you. How'd that turn out for Peter? As Jesus had predicted, Peter denied Christ 3 times. And oh, by the way, Satan had, well, let's go to Luke 22, the words of our Lord. Verse 31, Jesus said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. Notice, Satan couldn't come against Peter. He had to first get permission from the Lord, which tells you our Lord's sovereign, right? And guess what? The Lord gave Satan permission to toss Peter in the air to see, to prove that his faith would fail. You know, like Judas. But look what Jesus says. Peter, I've prayed for you. His faith wasn't going to fail. Oh, he was going to have a bumpy ride. He did deny Christ 3 times. And boy, the guilt he dealt with after that. But Jesus said, I prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and you, once you've turned again, go and strengthen your brothers. You see the sovereignty of God? He allowed Satan to do what he had to do with Peter. He obviously limited Satan. Peter's faith, though it faltered, did not fail, and he eventually landed and became that rock, preaching the gospel to the Jews, to the Samaritans, to the Gentile Cornelius, used mightily by the Lord. But he went through some suffering. Why? Well, obviously the Lord saw some pride in Peter that needed to be purged. Because the Lord knew on the back end of that, Peter was going to be that rock preach the gospel for the glory of Christ. And Peter needed to exalt Christ, not himself. And so the Lord sovereignly allowed the suffering. And I'll let Peter conclude with his lesson he learned from that in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. Peter said to the Christians, after you've suffered for a little while, he was speaking from experience. He said, after you've suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And that's why Peter said, to him be dominion and glory forever and ever. Amen. Christian, you may be going through some suffering right now. It's painful. It hurts. But the blessing is to know that our Lord is sovereign. Yes, even in your suffering. And he will use your suffering to humble you, so he can give more grace to you, so you can become more like Christ, and your life can bring more glory and honor to Christ here on earth and throughout eternity. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.